You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A warm welcome to Sharon von Quaelen, the wife of missionary Ralph von Quaelen. What kind of missionary is your husband?
My husband is a lay missionary, and he is responsible for an agricultural development project based in northern Ghana. And through this project, we're hoping to improve some of the agricultural practices of the people in that area to increase their food supply. We also have a well digging project to assist the people in digging their own wells to improve their drinking water. And we also have a literacy project so that the people can learn to read and write in their own language.
Tell me about your children.
I have two children. Frida is 5 and Emily is 2. And so besides trying to help out as much as I can with Ralph's work, I also spend a lot of time with the children.
I understand you were raised in Iowa.
Yes.
Now, I've got to know, how did you get from Iowa to Ghana?
Well, after I'd finished a bachelor's degree at Iowa State University, I went out to Indiana to Purdue University to get a master's in plant pathology. And while I was there, I met Ralph, and then we got married, and Ralph wanted to go to Ghana, and so I followed him to Ghana.
Did you go gladly?
Yes, I did go gladly. When I tell the story that when Ralph asked me to marry him, it wasn't whether or not I would marry Ralph was the tough question. It was whether or not I could live in Africa, because I knew he wanted to go overseas and work in a developing country. So that was my biggest concern when I was deciding whether or not I wanted to marry him.
How do you help Ralph in the missionary work?
I help him by just being there to continually support, I think would be the best definition. I have some training in the same area that he does, so I can offer some advice there. I try and pick up some of the book work and report writing that he needs to do. And I'm just there to provide a home that he can feel comfortable in and also provide a home for the children.
Last summer, God shielded your family in the midst of a terrible tragedy. I want to hear more about that. Could you tell me about the night of July 15th from your perspective?
On July 15th, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened with the sound of something popping or some type of an explosion type thing. One of the things that happens in our area, when someone dies, they'll shoot off a gun to announce that someone has died. And my first reaction was that that must be what it is, but it was too close. There's not a house that close that would be doing that. I wake up Ralph because it just didn't sound right, and he was thinking it was some hunters trying to get some weaver birds out of the trees that were causing a problem on some of the corn plants in the area. But that didn't sound right either, because they wouldn't do that at night, we didn't think. So he looks out the window and he can see some commotion going on around our storage room where our watchman sits. And in the storage room we store the gasoline for the motorbikes. And he found his shoes and he went out to see what was going on, and I go to the kitchen window then to look, and I can look out to this storage building and I can hear all this banging and the little explosions keep continuing, and I can see this line of explosions right along my clothesline area, and I was like, who has tied firecrackers on the clothesline? And it wasn't light enough that I could see what Ralph was doing, but all of a sudden he comes running into the house, and I can tell these men are chasing him. I go into a different area of the house where I can look out and see the men. And at that point, I know Ralph is trying to lock the door, and at that time I see the men point the gun at the door, and it was an automatic rifle, and they were shooting at the lock on our door.
Do you remember your first thought?
I could see the men with the gun and trying to get into the house, and they were shooting. And the thought was, these men have gone crazy. There's something really wrong here. Then I realized they've come into the house, that the door is broken down. And at that point, I realized that Ralph had been shot when they were shooting through the door, that he had been shot in the abdomen. And then they demanded that I give them the money. I first refused. There was just something in me that's, you have no right to be in here. This is not right. You're just being totally wrong by being in my house and doing this. And Ralph told me to give him the money, and I went and got a lot of our Ghanaian currency, that money, and brought it out to them, and then they still wanted more.
Were you afraid for your life?
I think everything happened so quickly I didn't have time to be afraid. I gave them as much of our Ghanaian money as we had, and they said, I hear you have daughters. where are your daughters? And so I went into our daughter's bedroom, since it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and turned the light on and took them right into their bedroom. And this man has this automatic rifle, and I didn't know what was happening. But then they kept saying, daughters, daughters, and then it finally kicked. They weren't saying daughters, they were saying dollars, dollars, where are your dollars? And I think my greatest point of fear then was when I couldn't find the few dollars we had, and then they threatened me more. But I found the dollars. They never touched me at that point. They took all the currency that we had and a suitcase to carry it in, and then they left the house. And in some ways, then the fear got worse, because Ralph was laying there. I put a cloth on his wound to help stop the bleeding, but I had to go out the door because I knew I had to get the car closer to the house to get him into the car and get going to the Baptist Medical Clinic, which was like an hour and a half away.
What were you afraid of?
I was afraid they were still out there. I didn't know if I'd go out the door, if they would just start shooting at us again.
Were you afraid for Ralph's life?
For some reason, I always had the confidence that he was going to be okay. I think God gave me that trust right from the beginning so I could go step by step to do the things that needed to be done at that time.
Did the children understand what was happening?
The 2-year-old at the time was like 1.5 years old. She was upset, but she really didn't know what was going on. Frida was about 4.5 at the time, and she knew her daddy was hurt, and she knew Peter was hurt. But the whole way to the hospital, she kept praying to Jesus to help Peter and to help Daddy. And Frida never shed a tear. The whole time we were going to the hospital, Frida was just continually praying for Peter and for Daddy that they would be okay. And she never cried. And I look back on that, and that's part of the miracle of the whole story, is that she was as calm as she was at that point, and even the 2-year-old, Emily, because they could have been screaming and really upset, but they weren't.
Now you're at the hospital. How was it waiting through the surgery?
During the time of the surgery, I had gone to the home of one of the doctors there. And really my main concern then was just to keep the children content. I wanted them to be able to sleep some more or just relax. And so I again just put my trust in God that he was there with the surgeon and that Ralph would be okay through the surgery.
What was it like when the doctor came out of surgery and talked to you?
I wasn't there when he came directly out of surgery. One of the other missionaries had arrived. Pastor Tim Heine had arrived with his family. So I was sitting with Beth Heine, and then Tim came in and told me that Ralph was out of surgery, that no major organs were damaged, but they did need to get some more blood for him for a blood transfusion. So then Tim went out to try and find another donor for the blood.
Was he able to find another donor?
Yes, he was. They were able to locate a new person on the Wycliffe Bible translating staff that had just moved into the area about 10 miles away. They went to this man, and he was the right blood type.
Is so that a strange coincidence?
It was God's miracle again.
Tell me about other miracles that God performed in this terrible time.
Well, besides this unit of blood that we got from the Wycliffe Bible translator, Ralph needed 2 units of blood just going into the surgery. Kwaku, the friend who had come with us, was the right blood type. Dr. Fail, who assisted Dr. Schaffstall in the surgery, was also the right blood type. Just the presence of Dr. Schaffstall, who was a volunteer doctor in the area, was a miracle because he was there. It was his last night on duty. He had come in to help the hospital while these other doctors were on retreat. And here he was, a professor of surgery, and he was skilled with dealing with damage done by gunshots. So that was the miracle there. But then it just continued because as they evaluated Ralph's situation, they realized they needed to get him out of the country. So they decided the best thing would be to get him to the United States. And we just sat there and said we needed a miracle because we didn't quite know how everything was going to come together at this point.
A Mother's Day is full of details. We husbands and children often don't appreciate all the little things that a mother does. Making sure there's enough cereal and milk for tomorrow morning's breakfast. Stretching a tight budget so that you can buy gym shoes for the kids. Talking to a teen about some heartbreaking problem. Sometimes the details also include fear. Like Sharon Von Quaylen, every mother faces fears. Some are big, others are small. But these are all the details of a mother's love. Now, today we're led by many people to believe that the details of motherhood are small and insignificant. They are, some people suggest, annoyances in a career-oriented life. But God does not put down the details of a mother's love, whether it's the drudgery of diapers or the joy of seeing a child graduate. God knows and He cares about the details of a mother's life. And it's not only the details. Quite apart from all the things you do, God cares for you. That's why God gave us Easter. Raising children is best done by mothers who cannot get Easter out of their system. If God on Easter could raise His Son from the dead, can you imagine what that divine power can do in your life? Without the resurrecting power of God, you'll have to drag yourself out of bed each day with great foreboding. Without the resurrecting power of God, the details of motherhood are going to be like bullets coming at you. Without the resurrecting power of God, you'll lack fulfillment and purpose. Without that power of God, it will not get much better than diapers and drudgery. God gave Easter so that your family and friends will say about you, "She's full of life. She's full of hope." St. Peter said it this way, "Let us praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by raising Jesus Christ from the dead has in His great mercy given us a new birth. Now we have a living hope, which awaits an inheritance that cannot be destroyed or defiled and never fades away, reserved for you in heaven. And through faith, you are protected by God's power until you come to the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the end of time. This brings you great joy, even though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials. Your faith is tested for its genuineness through this suffering, just as gold is tested for its genuineness by fire. When your faith passes this test and is proven to be more precious than gold which perishes, it results in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ appears again." Resurrection is something that happens to dead persons. God couldn't raise His Son unless Jesus had died. The reason Jesus died is that you and I are dying because of our sins. Now, God doesn't like death any more than you and I like death. So God erased your sins in the only way possible, by sending His Son to die. On the cross, Jesus died for the sins of all, mothers included. For the times when you have forgotten the divine purposes of motherhood, Christ died. For the time when you neglected your children, or for the times when you pushed them too quickly to become adults, for that Jesus Christ died. For that time when you may have abused your child, verbally or physically, for that Jesus Christ died too. For that time when you may have ended the life of your child through abortion, a painful remembrance on a Mother's Day, for that sin Jesus Christ died. For the times when you taught your impressionable children the ways of this world, rather than teaching them the wisdom of God, yes, for that too, Jesus died. And for the times when we husbands and children have sinned, not recognizing the many details of a mother's life, not encouraging you in your divinely appointed task, for all of these sins, Jesus Christ died. Our sins are killing us now, and they'd kill us eternally. If your life needs a resurrection, first there has to be a death to sin. That's why Jesus died, for your sins. And that's why Jesus rose. In the resurrection is the power of God to shield you now with God's life and God's hope. He did that for Sharon von Quaylen and family, and He wants to do it for you too. God raised His Son from the dead because He wants to awaken you from sin and death to hope and to eternal life. No matter how well or poorly you've attended to the details of motherhood in the past, the resurrection is God's way of saying, "You can put a smile on your face, Mom, because the power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to shield you now. All you need to do is trust your living Savior, Jesus." If God's power can restore a corpse to life, as he did on Easter, the same power of God can raise you in the morning to face husband, kids, and who knows what all else. The best way to be up and at 'em is to let faith in God's shield lead the way into each new day. Whatever bullets life sends your way, put your trust in the one who conquered sin and death. That shield of God's power is leading Sharon Von Quaylen and family back to Ghana. God bless you, Sharon. For you, up and at 'em with the shield of God's power will take a different form. Obviously, I don't know the details. You do, and God does. Let God's shield lead you into your future. Being a Christian mother is all about Easter, all about life, all about hope. Sin is forgiven. Jesus lives. The shield of his power is for you. Amen. Now, Ralph was evacuated by himself.
Yes.
How long did you stay in Ghana?
I came home to the United States exactly 1 week after Ralph did. I stayed behind in order to close up the house and also to orient the staff of our project, our agricultural development project, so that the work that we had started could continue. And at that point, I felt that Ralph was in capable hands. He was going to the States, he'd be in an American hospital, and I felt then that my place was to tie down the loose ends that we would have in Ghana and also to properly close up the house so that when we returned to Ghana, we wouldn't have to deal with as big a mess as if I had just left very quickly.
When Ralph was evacuated back to the United States to Loyola Hospital in Chicago, what kind of care did he receive?
They did numerous tests, things like CAT scans, ultrasounds. They could find no damage to any other organ in his body beside the stomach and the intestine that had been injured. In fact, Ralph got out of the hospital a day before I returned from Ghana. When I came home from Ghana and I walked out of the car at his mother's house, Ralph walked out to meet me.
Wow. What'd you think?
I had a walking miracle. He did have a little bit of a setback about 3 days later, but no surgery was necessary. He just needed to be on IV therapy for a week. And since that time, everything has healed up very well, and now he feels almost 100%.
What have you been doing these last months in the States?
Talking to different congregations to tell them about what the Lutheran Church is doing in Ghana, how the message of Christ and his salvation is being told to the people in Ghana, what our role is in that, and then we also share with them this story of how God has been with us and he has promised to be with us, and we can take confidence in that promise that he will be with us always to the end of the age.
What lies in the future?
We'll go back to Ghana and we'll continue ministering to these people. And I pray that we can be a more powerful witness with our lives.
Did you have some tough feelings about going back?
Not really. I went back to the village 3 days after this happened to Ralph to greet the people in the village, to greet the chief. And the love and concern that they showed, just, it was like, how can you not come back? Also, when I walked into the house and counted 9 bullet holes in that door lock, and Ralph only had 2 wounds, and he lived through it, that was God protecting him and saying, he'll take care of you. And so I was ready to go back.
I'm sure I speak for all our listeners when we thank you, Sharon, for being with us today. You've been a blessing to all of us, telling about God's shield of faith in your life and all our lives. You'll be in our prayers, and you're certainly in our gratitude for sharing with us today this marvelous story of God's protection.
Well, thank you.